Program Director at Yatumas Foundation for the Kids.
All right. And this is Betty Daniels, and I have invited Jennifer to Impact because I'm going to tell you how I found out about it's called Yatuma Foundation for Kids, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's a billboard that I saw on 8 Mile that said Yatuma for Kids. And I said, that's interesting. So let me try and see what that's about. Can you tell us a little bit about Yatuma? Now, I know it's been around for about 8, going on 10 years now.
It's been around for 11.
11. All right. Okay. And give us a little overview of what Yatuma is about.
Well, Yatuma's Foundation for the Kids is a nonprofit organization that works with children and their families following the death of one or both parents. It is in honor and loving memory of Manuel Yatuma, who was killed in the city of Detroit in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
He left behind his oldest son, Norman Yatuma, who is my boss, and his sons, Jeffrey, Chris, and Greg.
All right. Did I cut you off? Okay, all right. And when I was going through the history, I know that quite often when people view the thing, they go over the story, and it's a repeat of what his experience was. But when I was reading that, he was explained his reaction in losing his father. Has he shared that with you, and could you share that with our audience?
I have heard it many, many times. Mm-hmm. When you work with somebody and you develop a professional fondness for them, it's very difficult because every time I see Norman tell the story, I see a part of him relive it.
Mm-hmm.
His brothers, his mom, they go back there. So you have a family who doesn't have to stay in this terrible place, but chooses to because they know the way out for other people.
And which kind of like to clarify for me, because see, grief can go 10 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I was wondering, I said, now, when you provide, do you consider yourself providing a service, or do you consider yourself being a support? What is the best way to describe what you do?
Both.
All right.
We are nonprofit. We don't receive government funds at all.
All right.
So we don't have a cookie cutter approach. We have families that come to us and they receive a great deal of financial assistance because they need it.
Mm-hmm.
We have families that don't need financial assistance at all, but what they come to us for is support. Questions about how do I tell my child that mom died and that this is forever and that it's never going to change?
Right.
How do I give them permission to smile again? How do I give them a reason to smile again?
How do you give themselves a permission to smile again?
Exactly.
All right. Which then when, now the counselors, okay, it's like a number of questions are coming up as we're talking, is that's the questions they come to you with.
You can have a family of four children, approximately the same age range, who lose the same person in the same house, but react a completely different way.
True, true.
One child doesn't want to talk to me at all. The other child won't be quiet. Maybe it's going up to people in the grocery store and sharing very somewhat inappropriate details about what happened to strangers because they just need to talk. And then you have the kids in the middle that are still kind of trying to process what happened.
All right.
Everybody goes into protect mode. The surviving parents or grandparents protect the kids. The kids protect their caregiver because they don't want to see them sad or upset. So when I come in, I'm an objective person. They don't have to protect me. They can say that they're scared. They can say that they're having a bad day. They can say they don't want to close their eyes at night. Whereas maybe they don't want to say that to mom because they don't want mom to be more upset or mom to be more worried or to make daddy sad that mom isn't there anymore.
All right. Now, when a person comes in contact with your, and it's a twofold question, let me get the first part. How does one come in contact with Yatuma?
A lot of people come to me the same way you did. They see a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
And those billboards, I should say, are given to us as a gift, an in-kind gift by CBS Outdoors.
All right.
And they move.
Oh.
And I don't always know where they're moving or where they're going to be until I get a bunch of phone calls from, say, 94 and Mac. I'm okay, I'm in the city. And then 6 weeks later, I'll get a bunch of calls from Monroe, and I'm like, okay, I'm on 75 South now. And that's kind of how I know where we are. I get a lot of calls like that. we have a very active hands-on board, and I have three members that of the foundation that came to me through the board.
All right.
Children go to school together, and they'll call and say, hey, somebody from my son's school lost their dad. Can you help them?
All right.
People see us on the news. They see us on TV. People do Google searches.
All right.
They get referred through other agencies, hospices, hospitals, first calls, first responders, police departments.
All right. Now you're covering all the questions that I have. Okay, so you do it. I'm going to give you an A+. So then when the person reaches you, then what's the next step?
Well, we talk about what it is that they need, what we're looking at. Usually it's just to talk. It's just to get out what they're feeling. They have a lot of questions. Sometimes how to field people who are trying to be helpful to them and have the best of intentions but aren't really being very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you protect yourself from that? How do you protect your kids from that? How do you tell people what it is you need and to stand up for that? Then we start looking at financial resources and needs, and there is an intake procedure, of course, you know, with due diligence to our donors.
Right.
I have to verify that everything is as it appears.
All right.
And what the needs are. And then we go in and we help based on those needs. It can be no financial support at all. It can be that this family wants to come to our monthly social events, which are very, very good for kids. We get together, and Sunday it was cold, but we went to the zoo.
All right.
The month before that, we went to the Tigers game. The Detroit Tigers have been very generous to us.
All right.
We had 3 games this summer, all right. 150 tickets apiece.
All right.
But it's very good for kids to get together with other kids who have lost a parent. And even though we don't talk about it, unless it comes up, and it often does, they're often the only kid in Scouts whose father has died.
All right.
The only girl in Brownies who doesn't have a mom. The only kid in the school whose parent has died. So they're with other kids, and they say, okay, I'm not weird. This has happened to other kids before. And they're with Norman, who's a big kid, and it happened to him. And he can say, you know, I was older. I was 20, but, you know, my little brother was 10. And he made it. And it's just good for them to be with other kids who have lost a parent. And it's good for the caregivers to be together.
All right. Now, you say there's an intake process. Are we talking just you by yourself? And I didn't think you did mention that there were other people that you work with. So what's the size of your staff? And
the size of our staff right now is, our paid staff is about 2.5.
All right.
I do the intakes.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer it to be that they talk to me and then I go out, because it's very difficult to tell the story over and over and over again. And people have a tendency to latch onto that first person they talk to. That's who they want to be. And it takes a great deal of courage to pick up the phone and say, I need some help.
All right. And then after
we talk to each individual family.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids are already in therapy through a hospice or through a school. And we certainly don't want to interrupt that therapy if it's going well.
All right.
If they are within a reasonable distance, then I try to go out and do therapy with the family in their home.
Mm-hmm.
We do whatever the family needs. If it's individual counseling, we call them family meetings, because children are resistant to family therapy, but they're family meetings where we all get together and talk about how we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do a lot of one-on-one with the surviving caregiver. Mm-hmm. I have many grandparents on my caseload.
All right.
Who are dealing with being a parent all over again.
All right.
And they're dealing with the truly horrific loss of losing a child. That's not what nature intended. There's not even a word for that. We don't have one.
Right.
And so they're dealing with these children who they love and they want to take care of, while dealing with the fact that they've lost a child.
Right.
We do a lot of client-directed care.
Mm-hmm.
People know what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what they're ready for.
Mm-hmm.
I may know what they need because I have been through this with so many people. But for these people, it's their first time through it.
Okay.
And hopefully their last. And they don't always know what's next. So we take things through. Let's get through today. What needs to happen today?
Okay. Let's kind of, budgeting, support groups, household maintenance, vocational training. How did all those things come about, and what kinds of services? How know how to get into, no.
It comes about by a family will ask for something that we don't already have, and we have to go find it.
Okay.
I read in a file before I got there that there was a dad who did not know how to do ponytails, didn't know how to braid hair, didn't know how to do any of that.
Which is most of them.
Yeah. So we found a cosmetology student to go over and help do that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a service we'd offered before. It had never come up. Landscaping. A lot of moms don't know how to cut the lawn. You know, helping them with that. Tutoring is always a big one. I mean, it stands to reason when a child is trying to get their brain around this tremendous loss and the fact that it's forever.
Mm-hmm.
See, first you have the loss, which is huge.
Right.
But once the loss has been experienced, getting a child's head around the fact that this isn't going to change. You're going to feel better someday, whether you want to or not. But end of the day, mom or dad is still gone. And I don't have a word to fix that. I can do all the Christmas packages I want. I can do all the outings I want. I can do all the counseling I want. But the reality is mom and dad are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to make that a little bit easier.
Okay. So if at one time you have a father who doesn't know how to braid hair or even wash it for that matter, so does that service continue or is that just one of your contacts and you go on to the next need?
We try to keep our contacts. Obviously, we lose some, we gain some, people move. When the economy went down, you know, we had a lot of businesses who simply couldn't afford to do for us once they, what they once did.
Right.
We lost some sponsors simply because their company was no longer able to donate once they once did.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, death comes for everybody. So, you know, we've lost, you know, some of our good friends have moved on,
mm-hmm.
but then we gained new friends.
All right.
This year we got a wonderful man named Gus and mm-hmm. he owns Zach's Hot Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
He feeds my families all the time. He was going to feed them at the zoo on Saturday, but we decided we weren't going to the zoo in the rain. And people just step up. They hear about us from a billboard or from a family or they see us on Facebook mm-hmm. and they step up and they say, "Hey, I own a bowling alley. I would mm-hmm. love to have your kids come to a bowling alley."
All right. All right. Now, then am I hearing that there's a large volunteer group or that work with you or not?
We have a support group.
Mm-hmm.
We have volunteers that come in for various things. We always need more volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a staff that comes in a wonderful lady. Her name is Mary, and she does our golf outings.
All right.
The volunteering for the golf outings. She gets our gift bags ready and she gets things lined up and she knows exactly what she's going to do and don't get in her way because she will not like that. The only downside to Mary is she's so good to so many places, so we have to share her.
Okay.
So we have people that volunteer for our Extreme Christmas Makeover and that's their Christmas thing with their family. That's their tradition.
Okay.
We have a set of people that love our gala. We just did a night at the Oscars at the Townsend Hotel.
Oh, okay.
And we have people that love to get dressed up and love to come to that.
Okay. All right. So the answer to the question is that's almost like a evolving, revolving
type? It's always evolving. It's always revolving.
All right. Now, do you have certain events that you have ongoing since you've been doing that?
Yes. We have our Extreme Christmas Makeover every year.
Mm-hmm.
Where usually three families in the area are adopted for Christmas.
Oh, all right.
But it's not just adopt a family. We show up with a truck load of furniture from Art Van, with refrigerator boxes full of toys.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we have a spy in the family who tells us everything that child wants for Christmas.
All right.
And then we have a volunteer team that goes out and gets that and wraps mm-hmm. that. And Santa Claus, who looks suspiciously like Norman Yatuma, shows up and bangs on the door, and our volunteer base of usually about 30 start singing carols,
mm-hmm.
and there's a big Ed McMahon-sized check, which is their winter bills.
All right.
We do that for three families. Usually, we try to do it where the death has been within the year. This is their first Christmas.
All right, all right.
That they're facing.
Now, what's the longest length of time that you can share with us that the family has been involved with your organization, and how does one, I guess, say, move on to the next mm-hmm. phase of their lives, or how do you see that?
Well, because we're not government based,
mm-hmm.
we can. I grew up in the Salvation Army, so they are usually my first call.
Okay.
And I usually know who to talk to, or I can call my sister and say, "Hey, who's in this area?"
Mm-hmm.
Saint Vincent de Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of work with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Goodfellows.
Mm-hmm.
School counselors do a lot of work with the schools.
All right.
And just finding resources within their community, other nonprofits. There's Elle's Place in Ann Arbor, Place, and there is a small organization called Daphne's Doves in Detroit.
Okay.
And they work with families who have lost kids to a violent death.
All right. Okay.
And we piggyback off each other.
All right. Okay. Now the question is, you were saying that financially it's within one to three years.
1 to 3 years.
All right. Support wise, how does that? What's the longest one where you would this been in since day one through?
Oh goodness, we've had people who have been with us almost since the beginning.
Okay. All right. And what has been some of the things that they've shared about their continued to come, and what is it they're getting? Do they indicate that they're getting out of that?
Usually, our families who stay that long begin to give back.
Okay.
We have a wonderful little spokesperson in his family, and they suffered a true tragedy. Mm. And they're all tragic, but this was just dad had somewhat of a mental breakdown, and dad took his own life while attempting to take their mother, and the children were home. And mom just handles this with grace and with beauty, and has explained to the children that dad was sick and this was a result of his illness. And she went through the program, support, financial support. She had physical therapy as a result of the attack on her.
Mm-hmm.
She has very successful children, speak multiple languages,
mm-hmm.
All going to good schools or good colleges. She started her own nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
But they come to our gala every year as paying supporters.
Okay.
And that was something she could not have done before. Her son speaks every year. Her daughter spoke this year.
All right.
And they give back to other families because they have the experience of saying, I've been where you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get up off this mat.
Okay.
You're going to make it once a month.
All right.
So I would say at any given point, we have approximately 200 active people that I would say are active, and that number, you know, changes and people revolve, but I would say there are probably close to 400 or 500 families who just engage in social events, who just, you know, engage on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just people who are current. We've been around since 2003.
Well, I was just dealing with the current. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I would have to say it's got to be
all right.
A couple thousand by now.
Program-wise, has there been any kinds of evolving as to what types of support or what the program goals and objectives are? And I know you said that you've only been there like 18 months, but in your discussion with Mr. Yatuma and others, what has been some of the developments or program?
Well, the program started literally around a table in Norman and Nicole's basement on Father's Day.
Okay.
The kids just all reminiscing about dad as you do on Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And how dark that was, how difficult their first Father's Day was mm-hmm. without a dad.
Right.
Their dad died in March, so it had only been 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it was all volunteer for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's only, like I said, 2.5 people on staff. The board has gotten very strong, very active. We've gotten some very good friends to have along the way. Art Van,
mm-hmm.
Van Conway,
mm-hmm.
Sandy Pierce,
mm-hmm.
The Murphys, just people in the community who come to us and they want to help the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about their name. It's mm-hmm. not about being out there so everybody knows how good they are. In fact, some people I don't even say because they would be mad. They don't want to be said.
All right.
But we've grown in friends. We've grown in scope.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have, you know, a full-time state-certified social worker.
Okay.
My specialty is grief, loss, and trauma.
Okay.
So we've gotten a little bit more specialized in where we can go and what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And in helping families have a long-term plan.
Mm-hmm.
our long-term goals, I have said several times, we would love to have a center someday.
All right.
A home.
All right.
So that we know where our events are going to be and when we're going to have them.
All right.
And we'd like to, you know, reach more kids. Okay. We are primarily, any child in the state of Michigan who's lost a parent due to death can be serviced by us.
All right.
Obviously, if they're in the UP, it's going to lead to a little bit more financial support.
All right.
But any child in the state of Michigan, most of our calls do come from the city of Detroit.
All right.
Or Oakland County.
Okay.
But I think that's our location. We're in Oakland County.
Right.
And we're close to Detroit.
Right.
But.
Let me hold back to, because I'm asking three questions at once. The question, one of the questions I'm asking is that, is there somewhat a contract or agreement that you have with the people that you participate that they want, you know, they need to engage or they have to do these kinds of things? You know, is there any kind of a, you know, underlying involvement contract? I guess I would want to put that.
Clearly, we want to have a team. We want to develop goals with them.
Mm-hmm.
But people who come to us are often in grief and they're in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to engage in therapy. We want them to engage in wise decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And to team their resources with ours.
Mm-hmm.
Be that they have a utility bill that's very overdue. Can you come up with any of it at all?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to help you match that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously they have the responsibility to go to the Department of Human Services,
right,
and see,
right,
what will they do for them.
Right.
So we like to build,
okay,
an accountability.
All right.
But a lot of our families have been, their very foundation has been pulled out from under them.
All right.
So we have to help them find that foundation before we can put a lot of requirements on,
okay,
them.
Okay.
Obviously, we have to be respectful and responsible to our donors and make sure that we are doing our due diligence to make sure that there is a need and it does meet our criteria. But other than counseling and what the family determines that they need, we don't have like a set, you must do this for,
mm-hmm,
us to help you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Then, and I've lost track of my other part of my question. When has there been a time where a family was saying, well, no, I can't really engage? And then what do you do if, you know, sometimes they just cannot step into that, you know, your support? You know, they've made the initial contact, but then they back off. Is there kind of a follow-up kind of thing that you do with them, or is this what happens?
It happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every couple months, we'll go back through my contacts and say, a lot of people don't like to get the phone call,
mm-hmm,
but they will respond to an email. It's non-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, this is Jennifer at Yatumas Foundation for the Kids. You know, we had a little dialogue going. I sent you an application. Didn't hear back from you. We're just wondering how you're doing. How are the kids doing? Is there anything we can do to help? And I continue to invite them to all of our social activities.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of families where I might not hear from them two or three times, then there's an invitation to a Tiger game. Then they come, they see what we're all about. They see me, they come over, they say hi. Then they're a little bit more willing,
okay,
to participate. But, you know, obviously I've gone into people's homes, done an appointment, and it, for whatever reason, the mom has decided she didn't want to have family therapy or she wanted to go a different route. It's or maybe that one time was enough.
Okay. All right. Now, you said that you don't receive government funds, or, and it's all by donation. Is that correct?
Donations, fundraisers, yep, things like that.
All right. Then it's like I'm hearing you doing an awful lot for two people. Okay. Mm-hmm. How does it get done?
Well, there's more than, that's two paid staff.
Okay.
Norman does a lot. He works with us every day for multiple hours, but he's not on the payroll.
Okay.
Norman's wife literally just worked. Her name is Nicole. And is the mom of four young daughters on top of keeping track of Norman. And for the gala, she had to have been, she was working 24/7 for at least the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
She's not paid staff.
All right.
Norman's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She has retired in the last year, but prior to that, was the chaplain, and she did a lot of the intakes, and she did a lot of the therapy because she has been a widow. Okay. She has had to tell her children that somebody took dad, and she's lived it. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't paid staff.
All right.
I have volunteers that come in mm-hmm. and out. I have a board. Our public relations is all done by Tanner Friedman.
Okay.
That's their in-kind donation to us.
Okay.
I have, you know, the Yutuma brothers that pitch in. Mm-hmm. Their staff pitches mm-hmm. in when we have a big thing going on.
Okay.
But, yeah, for the most part, it's, as far as day-to-day operations, every single day, there's mm-hmm. about 2.5 of us.
All right. Now, what are our...
Well, Plant Moran, mm-hmm. they have been auditing us since, I think, 2006.
Okay.
And what they have given us is... I have to think of what it's called, an unqualified recommendation.
Okay.
Which means it's the highest level that you can give a nonprofit.
I read yeah. that.
They've gone through our records for the last several years. They have absolutely no concerns, no question that the money that is donated goes directly to the families.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you do not become a social worker because you want to make money. And if I sat down and figured out what I make per hour, I might cry.
Okay.
But
having a Salvation Army background helps it out, doesn't it?
Yeah. To my employer and mm-hmm. to our board,
mm-hmm.
We have a treasurer. I am accountable to our advisory board, which mm-hmm. is even bigger. And I am accountable to Plant Moran, who is there 3-4 times a year going through stuff, making sure that what we are saying is true.
Okay, you gave me two boards. There is the advisory board, and who's the other board?
The board of directors.
Board
of directors is smaller,
mm-hmm.
and it is people who have committed a certain financial mm-hmm. obligation
mm-hmm.
and a certain time contribution.
All right.
They typically attend at least one program event. Okay. So they come and they meet our families.
Okay.
They see their faces.
All right.
And some of them provide in-kind services. Matt Friedman is on our... We try to meet 3 times a year. Our board is very, very busy people, so getting all 13 of them, or at least a quorum together at the same time, same place, even via phone, is difficult.
Okay. The advisory board, you said it's much larger.
Yes. The advisory board is much larger. I would have to count how many are on there, but those are people who have stepped forward to be a very good friend of the foundation by lending their name or by lending resources, events, and they don't have to come to board meetings, so I don't require their presence for a quorum, but they also give us a lot of input and a lot of advice, and I can go to them and say, hey, I need this, and they point me in the way to go.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now, and then we'll come back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Henry Ford College's Virtual Theatricality Lab offers a dynamic, cutting-edge certificate program that combines both the artistic and technological skills required for today's motion capture industry. The VTL Motion Capture Certificate is a one-of-a-kind 18-credit course sequence for those interested in merging live theatrical production with cinematic special effects. The VTL offers classes in 3D stereo, green screen, and motion capture. Student skills are showcased in spectacular live productions that have garnered international recognition from the Screen Actors Guild and the Kennedy Center's American College Theater Festival. Virtual theatricality prepares students for the 21st century and beyond. Prepare yourself with either day or evening classes at HFC's future-driven certificate program in motion capture. For more information, contact Dr. George Popovich at 313-845-6478 or visit popovich@hfcc.net. Henry Ford College, The future begins here.
We last year had one young man come to us. His name is Lucas, mm-hmm. and he was this year's champion, which we have never honored a kid before.
Okay.
But I've never had a kid go out and raise over $16,000 for me in less than a year before. So, Lucas, I didn't do anything to find Lucas. I would love to take credit for him, but he was the youth president of the Fraternal Order of Eagles Junior Division.
All right.
And as part of his presidency, he had to pick a nonprofit mm-hmm. that the whole organization would raise funds for.
Mm-hmm.
And he went online and he Googled and he found Jutuma's Foundation for the Kids, and he came in with his grandma and we met. He sold t-shirts, he sold wristbands, he sold cup cozies. He had like 3 murder mystery dinners. He had a brunch. He did all kinds of crazy things.
And this young man is how old?
He just turned 16 last week.
Oh, goodness.
The reason young Lucas came to us is because when he was very young, he lost his mother.
All right.
And he wanted to help other kids who had lost a parent.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most well-spoken. Norman says he's going to retire to run his campaign for president. Well-spoken, just responsible, just charismatic young men you will ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
And just a good, good young man. And just really went out there and gave it his heart. And he presented the check to me. He didn't know the total of the check. He had an idea because he can add and he knew what he had made here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But they handed him a big check to give me. And that was when he saw the amount. And mm-hmm. it was over $16,000.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's an eye opener.
And we got volunteers through him. We, through some of our fundraisers, which, you know, we always have a need for fundraisers. We always need to make money.
All right. Now. Give us the contact number for someone. Oh. Okay, and then we're going to do it again at the end of the program. What's the contact?
Our contact number is 888-987-KIDS. So
right.
Kids.
All right.
And that's 5437 if your cell phone doesn't have numbers or letters on them as well.
Okay, give it again.
It's 888-987-KIDS.
Okay, and if they work, you're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We have a website that's forthekidsfoundation.org,
mm-hmm.
and people can go on there. They can fill out a form if they want to volunteer. You can donate online. You can, if you're a business such as a roller skating rink, a bowling alley, a movie theater, really any family-friendly venue,
mm-hmm.
even a sit-down restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and you want to have our people in for an event,
mm-hmm.
I warn you that we're a large family, but we would love to come. We have businesses all the time that will do a Yatuma Day where 20% of the sales come to us,
mm-hmm.
and I've gotten volunteers through that. Mm-hmm. People who have seen the flyer and said, hey, you know, I went to such and such for ice cream the other day. I saw your poster,
mm-hmm.
wanted to know a little bit more about you.
Mm-hmm.
Through that, I've gotten a handyman who was going to go over and fix one of our grandma's steps for her.
Okay.
So just word of mouth, which obviously we want to grow, we need to grow,
mm-hmm.
but I love that about us. Mm-hmm. I love that people come in through a connection.
Okay. All right. Some of the events that you've had where the volunteers have worked with you, can you just talk about some of those?
Our Extreme Christmas Makeover, which we discussed, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest, were we on the air when we discussed that?
Not quite.
Okay.
No. Okay.
Our Extreme Christmas Makeover is probably what we're most known for. It makes Christmases for a lot of our volunteers. That's the only time we see them, and that's part of their family tradition, which is wonderful. We pick usually about 3 families in the area who have had the loss of a parent within the year, and we come in and we blow the roof off Christmas.
Okay.
Refrigerator boxes full of toys. Basically, we have a spy that's in the family, so we know everything on that Santa list, and Santa brings it.
Right, you didn't mention spy. Now, let's go behind the scene. What goes into putting that event on?
Oh, wow. A lot of sleepless nights. No, it's fun. We have a contact, an auntie, grandma, older sibling, who is our spy, because we have to make sure the people are there when we get there.
Okay.
And they tell us,
okay.
you know, because parents will say, my child wants this, but they won't say what they need. So they'll tell us, mom needs a new robe, mom needs this, just whatever the family needs and wants. And we show up with our truck and Santa Claus and Christmas carolers and a big Ed McMahon-sized check that takes care of their bills for the summer.
All right. But
the winter.
Putting that all together, what goes on behind the scenes, putting all that together?
Volunteers shopping, volunteers wrapping, me shopping and wrapping, just logistically putting together a map, because we're talking about getting a large caravan of people to three different houses.
All right.
And I can control many things, but not where people live. So the best route to get to all the houses.
And MapQuest is not always user-friendly.
No, it's not. In fact, I got lost last year. Last year, it was rainy and it was cold. And I didn't notice it till we stopped for lunch. We did the first two houses and I was fine. I was like, oh, it's not so bad. And then I got dry and warm at lunch. And oh, the end of the day was hard. But just to see the smiles on their faces, I encourage everybody, go on our Facebook page and look at those faces. Look at the smiles. And I should...
This lady likes to talk about the benefits to the family, but she does not talk about the work that they do. So I had to keep on putting her back to task. Okay, so she was in the van, rainy night. How many people are we talking about that was involved in all this to get this together?
Well, goodness... We have a wonderful family, the Abrahamians, and they were down there with us helping us put together bikes.
Which is how many people?
Mom, dad, and I believe four lovely girls.
Okay, that's four. Go ahead.
We probably have, I would say, altogether 50 volunteers that came in.
Okay.
Between the shopping, they weren't all there at the same time, but shopping and wrapping and delivering and returning and exchanging getting everything all together. We also provide food, practical things, finding out, you know, what are their bills so that we can have a budget for that. You know, that's not something that you sit down and, hi, what's your monthly mortgage payment? And does that include tax and insurance?
All right.
And they fill some of that out at intake, but not all of it. So if you were to get a new couch today, what color would you... difficult things to work into a conversation casually.
Okay.
It's easier now because I've known all the families, but last year I hadn't met many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a random thing for somebody to call you and say, hey, if you had a new couch, what color?
Okay. All right.
If you were to go anywhere you wanted to go and take a vacation, where would you go? That's kind of a, you know, odd question.
Do you have the flip side sometimes when someone calls from a furniture store and says, I've got these overload, abundance of couches or whatever, could you have anybody who can use them, and how would you handle that kind of a...
Whenever I get a donation like that, I look at my families and say, okay, who do I know could use this and would go get it?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are a small staff.
Right.
I have a small office. I can't go pick up seven mattresses and have a place for them.
Your basement won't hold it all?
Oh, no. Not my basement. So we have to... Sometimes I'll know people directly in mind. The Detroit Red Wings just called me, and they had four preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
And I contacted specific families who I know had older kids. You know, when you have a 3- and 4-year-old, you do not want to go to a Tiger game. A Red Wing game at 7:30 on a school night.
Okay.
If your kids are in high school, that's a little bit more doable.
Okay.
So sometimes I contact people specifically. If I get a large donation, the Detroit Pistons, Greg Monroe, took us to the Martin Luther King game last year.
Okay.
We were in his section, 50 seats,
okay.
With food and beverages provided, parking provided. What I do, which is the fairest thing to do, is I'll send out a massive email to the families, and I have a list of people who don't have email, and I just say, these are the dates. It will be first come, first serve. Mm-hmm. I need to hear from you by this date.
Okay.
If it's possible, the Greg Monroe thing I couldn't have.
Mm.
I've never had this with the Detroit Tiger games because, like I said, we get 150 tickets. But if I had 152 people call, then I would simply be buying two tickets.
Okay.
But we wouldn't turn anybody away. But that's just what we do, and families respond.
Okay. I also saw something about a youth activity or youth.
Yes. We have a youth advisory board, and really – high schoolers, middle schoolers, if mom and dad think that they're ready to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a few meetings. We need to have another one. We just had our big gala, so that took basically all of the energy. Taking care of families and taking care of the gala was my scope at that time. But we are rebuilding this, and we have a junior host committee for our Art Van Christmas party this year.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are going to help me and see what it's like to put on an event of this nature.
How many kids are we talking about?
Right now, there are 6 of them,
mm-hmm.
but I am adding people.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, these kids are people who have been through our program and Lucas.
Okay.
And as I meet more teenagers, I'm getting them involved in that.
All right.
It's kind of, there are some newer kids in there,
mm-hmm.
but it's a way for kids when they know they've been helped to kind of give back a little bit and give a little bit, get back their own a little bit.
Okay.
Feel like I was helped and that was good, but now right. I'm giving back.
Okay.
And they like that. They're going to be helping me take RSVPs.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to help Santa buy
RSVPs
for the party.
Oh, okay.
Get them organized. They're going to help Santa buy 275 to 300 gifts.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to help Santa wrap those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to help Santa pass them out.
Are they going to be bringing other volunteers in?
Yes, we'll have other volunteers as well.
Okay.
But these kids are going to be the host committee. They're going to make the decisions of, okay, what are the 5 to 7-year-old boys getting?
Okay.
What is our budget? We're going to talk about what is our budget? What can we afford to spend?
Okay.
And they're really excited about it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that the gala, which mm-hmm. what's the secret is the where at the end of the year you give the
That's Extreme Christmas Makeover.
Okay, now what's another one of the events that you have going on? That's ongoing.
Ongoing. Well, then there's our monthly thing, every month, just something fun, regardless of what it is. Often it depends on what's been donated,
mm-hmm.
and volunteers come to that. We had a great young man who came to the zoo with us, and it was cold, and he helped me with all the pizzas, he helped me with the pop, he helped me get set up, he helped me corral the families, he helped me corral my own kids because I'm a mom too and they were there. His name is Andrew, and he came to us, actually he's a shirt tail relative of the Yatuma family, so that's how we got him, but he's wonderful. We have that once a month, and people come and they help out with that. People offer to mentor.
All right.
And after we've done some due diligence to make sure, unfortunately in this day and age, I need to make sure that this is a safe person to have around our kids.
Right.
And I have to make sure that the people who are mentoring our kids really understand where we're at and what we're dealing with.
Okay.
And in a grief situation, one of our events, we were sitting around. And the kids were just playing. It was one of those fun things that you wouldn't think would be fun. We went to the Dosa Museum at Belle Isle.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were running around and the parents were just talking. And they came up with the Yatuma's top 10 lists of incredibly stupid things people say meaning to be helpful. And they were laughing. And I thought if anybody heard this conversation, they would think these people are so insensitive. But we were talking about the things that people think are helpful.
Right.
But they're not.
Right.
And so when somebody comes in and they want to work with their kids, and I so appreciate volunteers, I can't tell you how much I appreciate them. We need to make sure they know we're dealing with really fragile people
mm-hmm.
who have literally had the foundation of their life ripped out.
Okay.
And we have to be very careful and tread very lightly on their emotions,
mm-hmm.
their spiritual beliefs,
right.
their need for autonomy,
mm-hmm.
and respect for them as people.
Okay. You brought up something there about grief doesn't recognize religion.
No.
Sex, whatever.
Nope.
Okay. And like that, if anything, it's a common denominator, mm-hmm. as a leveler, that type of thing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. What other event? Now, your major fundraising event, when is that?
We just had it.
Okay.
We're in cleanup phase right now, getting out all the thank yous. We had a beautiful gala night at the Oscars.
Okay.
Van and Lori Conway were our hosts this year. It was at the Townsend in Birmingham.
Okay.
And we had probably the largest crowd in several years.
All right.
There is a silent auction. There's a super silent auction, and then there's a live auction. Oh. Charlie Langdon came, and he was our auctioneer.
Okay.
Robson's came, and he issued a challenge to everybody in the room. Mm. He and his wife pledged to match all donations up to $30,000 a year.
Oh my goodness.
Just extraordinary in their generosity and in their compassion for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Conway, Mr. Sims, when they talked to me, tell me about one of the kids. There's a kid there. Tell me that kid's story. What's going on with him?
Uh-huh.
They sincerely care. It's not about their name or being out there. They sincerely care.
And this event is, how many people?
It's a 2-day event. Mm-hmm. I want to say, I don't know what our final count was at the gala, but I know it was, I want to say at least 334.
Okay.
Maybe more. Okay. I don't. Plus volunteers.
All right.
Our kids were presenters. It was an Oscar night. So we gave awards and our kids were the presenters.
Okay. When you said Oscar, I wasn't quite. Yeah. Okay.
We gave awards. The Simone Vitale band plays for us at a ridiculous rate.
Okay.
Because two things sweeten the city of Detroit, his heart and his voice.
Okay.
And he just loves our kids and he loves us and we love him back. And he had people out on the dance floor before the night even started. We had to tell people to sit down so that we could eat. And then after that, on Monday, we had at the Detroit Golf Club.
All right.
We had our golf outing, and it was last Monday, the last really warm day of the year.
Oh, you lucked up.
Oh, we did. We were blessed. And we had, I think, about 90 people out for the kids that day, golfing and raising money for the kids. And you know, enjoyed a lovely dinner, and
now who's in charge? Is that the board that's in charge of putting that on, or is that
No, we have a special events coordinator, and we have an intern from last year, and I am not a special events coordinator. Norman will tell you that very plainly. I am a very good social worker. I am not a special events coordinator,
and it comes through loud and clear.
Yeah, it's not my job. It's not what I do very well. I'll sit and color with a kid on the floor, but you don't want me picking out napkins for your galas. But we, our intern came back and didn't even turn in a timesheet. And this girl worked round the clock helping us out, helping us get it together.
Right.
Our special events coordinator was there around the clock. And Norman and Nicole were literally working around the clock in their basement.
Okay.
You know, because the donations were pouring in, and you don't turn away a donation, but I mean, they were coming in sometimes the night before
all right.
The event.
All right. So we got the secret, I gotta go get the names, the Christmas giving for the three families, your fundraiser, and then is there anything else that goes on?
Well, we also do adopt a family because we want to make sure that all of our families are taken care of.
All right.
A lot of our families fall in that precarious spot where their income is too high for any kind of assistance.
Okay.
Yet not really high enough have the extras.
Right.
Many of my moms or dads will come to me and say, I miss being able to say yes.
Okay.
Can we go to the movies? Yes. Mm-hmm. Can we order pizza tonight? Yes. They've lost that luxury.
Right.
And being able to give that back.
Okay.
When people ask me, what can I donate for Christmas? If my families are all given out, I always say my yes jar.
Okay. So the adopt a family is, how does that work?
People come to me and they say, I want to adopt a family.
All right.
Some of them will go directly to the house and they'll meet up and they'll drop off their toys.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them aren't quite as comfortable and they prefer to go through me. They don't really want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay too.
Okay.
But they get, you know, they tell me I want to adopt a family with up to three kids.
And so they determine what they do for
the family? Well, I give them a wish list.
Okay.
But yeah, it's up to each individual donor.
Okay.
What they do. If they ever meet the family, if they don't meet the family, if, you know, what they give is, you know, up to them.
All right. So about how many families would be adopted in any one?
Last year we did 50.
Okay.
We tend to keep our financial support, like I said, within the first 3 years.
Okay.
We're not forever. Mm-hmm. We just don't have the means to sustain somebody forever.
Okay.
And eventually the crisis does pass and you have to determine what life is going to be and start building that life.
Okay.
But obviously if a family comes to us, I mean, a family comes to me on Christmas Eve and tells me, you know, and it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Dad killed on the 19th of December.
Mm-hmm.
And Mom went through the funeral. She went through everything. And it's just occurred to her, oh my gosh, it's Christmas in 2 days or 48
right,
hours.
Right.
We jump in and we help.
Okay. All right. So then we had Adopt a Family, the fundraiser?
The gala.
The gala. And
it's it's called Champions for the Kids, and it's the gala and the golf outing combined.
Okay, all right. And then the three families for Christmas. Mm-hmm. All right. How do you select those three families?
It's hard.
I can imagine.
Because I get very close with all of my families. Mm-hmm. But I look at the circumstance, mm-hmm. the need. This is the one part of our program that is very, very need-based. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I would love to do this for every family that comes through my door, and I simply can't. Mm-hmm. But the situation, mm-hmm. the need, we try to always do it within the first year of loss, so it's people facing the first Christmas.
All right. Okay.
And that's basically it.
All right. In your conversations with Mr. Yetuma, what are some of the things that come across to you that he has seen happen or gone, you know, that has occurred during his time since he took this task on?
I would say I seldom speak for Norman because he does it so well on his own, but I think I see him being very, very blessed, mm-hmm. very, very humbled, and mm-hmm. that is not a word you use for attorneys very often, right. But humbled by...
She did a lawyer joke.
He does them all the time. In fact, he's our rooter. Okay. Very, very humbled by the generosity and the true compassion mm-hmm. that people feel and that people show for our kids and our families. Yetuma's Foundation for the Kids, it's not named after Norman. It is truly an honor and loving memory of his dad that he lost in a heartbeat when he was 20 years old.
All right.
And everything he does, it's a living tribute to his dad. They found out that their dad was doing the smaller scale while he was alive. They would find, when they had to clean out his belongings, they would find a thank you card or an odd check or a money order that was given to somebody in the neighborhood that he knew was having a hard time.
All right.
People still to this day will approach one of the Yetuma brothers and say, you know, my dad lost his job in 1985, and he was going to lose the car, and your dad, you know, gave him money for the car note.
Okay.
It still happens. They didn't know that.
All right.
And just, I think Norman would say it is for the kids. It's always about the kids. Anytime I've come to him and said, you know, Norman, I need to go. There's a family that needs me. I have this other thing. It's always kids and family first. Go take care of our people. Everything else can wait.
Has he ever shared with you, when we first started the interview, how quite often when someone is interviewing him, they say, how did it come about? And so he has, you know, this reliving the story over again. Have you ever got the chance to hear where he is as far as realizing what he wants, or is it still the question is still something that has not really been addressed or come up yet? The question being, does he or has he expressed Morla said it earlier, that there's a blessing, but has he kind of like more or less described in other terms of what that blessing was and how it was from now as opposed when he first got into this?
It's gotten bigger than I think he dreamed, and he would love it to get bigger. He would love it to be national. He says mm-hmm. that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I reach for my Coke and take a deep breath. He just wants to make it better mm-hmm. because when it happened to his mom and his brothers, mm-hmm. there wasn't an organization to make it better. Okay. There was a pastor that mentored. There was a church that wrapped around him as best they could. But a lot of the people who they really thought would be there, who said they would be there, were filing lawsuits and picking at the estate within 2 weeks of the burial.
Okay.
So for him and for all of the Yetumas and for his mom and his aunt and his wife, who Norman and Nicole have literally been together since grade school.
Okay.
So she was with him when he was told that his dad was gone.
Okay.
So
now looking back,
if they can help one family, if they can make it easier for one family. I mean, he tells the story, it's on our webpage, of, getting home from college and finding his little brothers sleeping around his mother and just going around the room and praying over each one of them. He is the eldest male in a Chaldean family.
Okay.
And dad was gone.
Okay.
And the weight of it, plus the grief. I mean, you look, he's a 20-year-old kid.
I understand that. And the question you're getting to it is that what does he see having accomplished? Where does he see himself as far as now looking back?
He sees himself as first and foremost a husband.
Okay.
And the father of four beautiful children that all look like their mother. That is his great. He will say that. That's all they're beautiful inside and out, as okay. is their mother.
Okay.
He just wants to be, and I'm hesitant to speak for Norman, he wants to be a good man and a champion for the fatherless, to stand in for kids, and the motherless, for kids who have this horrible void happen.
Okay.
He just wants to help make it a little better and to say, look, I was there. It was hard. He's still there.
Okay.
Every March we come around to it. He's still there. But you know what? You move on.
Okay.
And you can let this make you bitter.
Okay.
Or you can let this make you better.
All right.
And that is your choice. I've made it better. Why don't you come along with me and let me help you do the same?
All right.
That's what Norman wants.
And for Jennifer, what has it been for you?
I came from the state. I was state foster care for 10 years.
All right.
I'm forensically trained. So I get to be in the emergency room and hear the things that nobody ever wants to hear. The things that when they start talking about on CSI, you change the channel.
Yes.
I will never make light about what these kids go through, but to be somewhere where I am solely a healing force.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously can't make it better.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take it away, but I can help.
Mm-hmm.
And I can stabilize things for mom and dad. I don't know what it's like to lose a spouse to death.
Right.
But I do know what it's like to find yourself all of a sudden a single parent.
All right.
And the mortgage is on you, and the lights are on you.
Right.
And you used to be the stay-at-home PTA princess, and all of a sudden you have to have a job.
Right.
And you have to go. I don't think I could have done it anywhere else.
All right.
Where I'm somewhere that makes a difference every single day. Where somebody will hang up the phone and will say, I'm so glad I called you today. I'm so glad somebody answered the phone. I feel better because I know what it's like to be afraid. And I know what it's like to feel like the roof is caving in, and to just be able to reach through the phone line and say, okay, breathe with me. Just all we're going to do right now, we're just going to breathe.
Okay.
That's our goal right now. Right. Our goal today is to pick up your kids from school, get them dinner, get homework, and get them to bed.
All right.
And tomorrow morning, we're going to do it all over again together.
And if a person wanted to reach out to you, they would call what number again?
They would call 888-987-KIDS or 5437 if you do not have numbers on your phone.
All right. And the email address and the website address?
The website address is forthekidsfoundation.org. There are things you can click on to donate, to volunteer, to join our mailing list. And there is a box in there that says need assistance. If you are a friend of, say, a grandparent who is not as technologically savvy, they can call me, or you can call for them with their permission and give me their name and number. And I do a lot of that, calling people, because people don't want to make that first phone call.
Right.
But the very first foundation I worked for, their mission statement in the very first line said, we believe that asking for help is a sign of strength.
Okay.
And it is. And that is how it is viewed at the foundation. And you pick up the phone, we will answer the phone.
Jennifer, you couldn't have ended it better. Thank you. Jennifer Moore from the Utuma Foundation for Kids.
Yep.
All right. And this is Betty Daniels. Thank you for tuning to Impact. And I'll see you next week, the same time, same place.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Congelo Corelli and ultimately found his home in Amsterdam, which at the time was the publishing capital of the musical world. That was I Solisti Italiani.
WHFR Dearborn. We are Henry Ford College's broadcast and internet station, proudly broadcasting for almost 30 years from the main campus of Henry Ford College, right here in Dearborn, Michigan. And we thank you for tuning in. Maybe you've been joining us for all of those 30 years, or maybe you're a newbie at WHFR. But either way, we hope you're enjoying this programming. We do have such a variety. We call it alternative variety, which means you're going to hear different things than you would normally hear on the traditional radio dial. And that's our mission. That's what we do, to play music and present programming that is not very often heard on other stations. It's an option, a choice just for you. And we hope you're enjoying it. Speaking of options and choices, want to sign up for our electronic newsletter? Well, it's new, it's free, and it's just for you. Simply go on our website, whfr.fm, and click on the link that says, I want to sign up for the electronic newsletter. We'll email that newsletter to you about a monthly basis, and we think you'll enjoy the information.
Here is Chanticleer with It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold.